Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Our numbers slightly down. We've got some people away, but glad to see each and every one of you here with us this morning. In the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, we find a pretty well-known account of Saul being converted on the road to Damascus. Saul being, at that time, a persecutor of Christians. He was being sent to Damascus to find Christians and then bind them and bring them back to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And it was upon that trip to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him and told him to go into Damascus and wait. And he was told to go there and said, "You will be told what to do." And so for 3 days, Saul waited. He was blind from the encounter that he had with the Lord. And we're told that for 3 days he waited and he didn't eat anything or drink anything. And so with that as the background of what we're going to talk about this morning will be what transpired next and some lessons that we can learn from the account. Now, if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read a 12 or 13 verses here, beginning in verse 10 in Acts chapter 9. "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ." From this text, I think we need to focus on Ananias and a characteristic about him that he had that is very important to us in our lives as Christians. And that is, he was courageous in the Lord, and based upon that courage, we'll see some things that happened that resulted from his courage. Now, this is not one of my word studies, but just to make sure, courage is a word that we all understand, but Webster defines it as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. I think we find all through recorded accounts in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we'll find that courage is an essential characteristic of all those who are faithful to the Lord. Before Moses died, he challenged the children of Israel to have courage. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." He's saying there are going to be things in front of you that normally you would be afraid of. You would be scared. But the Lord will be with you. Be strong and have courage. Joshua very similarly said in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." So Joshua expands on this a little bit. He's saying, be strong and be courageous, but if you are strong and courageous, you will be rewarded for it. It's just not a command that we're being told. We're being told here that we will receive a good a good outcome. We will have success in everything that we do by maintaining the courage that is necessary. And then we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." So even in the New Testament, that is a requirement that we have. We have to be strong in order to stand firm in our faith. Many times we will be tested, and if we aren't strong and courageous, we could fall. So all these verses are teaching us that we have to learn to be courageous in the Lord. It's not something that just comes from being a Christian. All these people are encouraged. They were being edified to be strong and courageous. And so it's something that we have to learn to be strong in the faith like this. Takes time and effort to be courageous. But we're also told that if we are, great things will happen in the Lord's kingdom. And so as we look at the verses about Ananias, we're going to see why courage is so important to being a Christian. And so the first thing we learn is that, I don't know if it was the courage that caused him to be ready, but when he was called, he was ready. Because as soon as the Lord called his name, he said, "Here I am, Lord. I'm here. I'm ready for you." And his response and his readiness is something that many other faithful people that we're told about had as well. One of the most well known is in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Several times the Lord had called his name and he didn't understand it, so he ran and he was told, "The next time you hear it, this is what you are to say." And so in chapter 3, verse 10, "And the Lord came and stood calling it as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Once he understood what this was, he was ready to do so. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Now, in this case, Abraham was ready, but also had to show great courage, because we're told here in Hebrews, he had no idea where he was going. He did not know what he was being called, but he had the courage to do so. And just like Ananias, these men were ready to listen and respond, and they had the courage to do so. And that's the same courageous attitude that we have to have today. Now, the Lord may not call to us by name and give us a command, but we have his word that we are to respond to, and that courage comes for us to be ready to serve him. And so we need to be ready to preach the gospel at any time. That takes courage. We have to be ready to answer any questions that may be posed to us. And so we have to be ready to do so. But in order to be able to preach and to be ordered to provide that answer, well, there's only one way that you and I can be ready to do that. And that's by studying God's word. Our courage can be found in the word. And the courage can come from us absorbing ourselves in it. We talked this morning about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Well, that comes from desiring to know what God expects from us. And it comes from us desiring to know it and to absorb it into our lives. And if we do that, then we are able to go preach the gospel. And we are ready to be ready with an answer when someone comes to us with something. The more we study and learn about God's word, the easier it'll be for us to have courage to teach others, because we know what it means to us, and we should want others to have that in their lives as well. And the courage that is needed sometimes to defend our faith when questioned, That is all part of that. Another thing that we can learn about being courageous is that we also have to be ready to help others, to do good for other people as well. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith." So when something needs to be done, especially that will glorify God, we need to be ready to say, "Here I am, Lord. I recognize that there's an opportunity in front of us, and we need to be able to do that without saying, well, that's going to ruin my Tuesday night if I go do that." We need to have the attitude that if it's going to glorify God, that is our priority, that is our passion, and that is where our hunger and thirst needs to reside. Now, another thing we can learn about courageous men like Ananias who are ready to serve God, that you can be hesitant. There may be times where you look at the situation and you might have some natural hesitation. And this can happen to the best of us from time to time. I think we've all wanted to talk to a loved one about the gospel, and we maybe were afraid of the response we might get from them. Well, that'll ruin the next reunion if they reject me. Maybe talking to a coworker. Well, I don't want them to think I'm strange or whatever. I'll just not say anything. Or maybe your next door neighbor. Well, I don't want them thinking I'm some kind of zealot or some religious nut. We don't have any problems now. I'll just leave it at that. But all those situations take courage to overcome those internal dialogues that we may have with ourselves. Oh, they're not going to be interested and so forth. That's not what we need to be doing. We need to have the courage to overcome those inner doubts, that hesitancy that comes to us. There have been many times where I failed miserably in this, and I'm sure each and every one of us can recall a time that I wish we had back. I wish I could have that opportunity to speak to so-and-so again. But all that proves is that we are human. And as humans, we do make mistakes. And all we can do is, as we mature in our Christianity, that we need to build up our courage and not focus on how someone responds or how they may treat us, but that we need to understand that if we say the right things more than we don't, then good things will happen. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So the next time we have that inner dialogue telling us a reason why we shouldn't, that why we shouldn't maybe approach someone, we need to remind ourselves that by doing so, we can gain strength from the Lord to give us the courage to be able to have that conversation. And we need to realize that maybe we are the only person, the only source that person's ever going to have to listen, hear the gospel, and respond to it. And so I don't want to imply that Ananias was trying to avoid or be negligent in his duties when he said, "I've heard much about this man. He's a danger, Lord. Is this really who you want me to go speak to?" I don't think that Ananias was trying to get out of it, but he was just wanting to make sure that this is the same person. This is that Saul, because he was a persecutor of Christians, and he just was making sure that that's what the Lord was asking him to go do. And we should keep our faith, even if it has to be, to the face of death. But honestly, we need to use good judgment as well, because sometimes there's nothing wrong with fleeing from certain situations. I told Debbie I was going to tell a story about her dad this morning, and I was trying to think back. I think this was about 25 years ago, because I think I remember kind of the situation, but it was a Wednesday night, and in the middle of class, we didn't lock the door like we do now, and someone came in the back door in the middle of class, and Benny and I kind of went back together, and there was a man in our bathroom, and he was all bloodied. He was just washing blood off of his face, and his hands were kind of, and he said he had been jumped by three guys, and he was just wanting to get home. And he asked if we would give him a ride home. And I remember Benny at the time said, "No, I don't think we will." And my first thought was, well, that's not a very Christian attitude. We should do that. Well, my attitude changed on that Betty was obviously a little bit more perceptive than I was, because on the news that night, that man had carjacked somebody and beaten them up and then wrecked the car. And that's where he saw that our lights were on and came in and tried, and we would have been his next victim. And so sometimes we have to look at the situation and realize, you know, we shouldn't put ourselves in a bad situation just in that situation. And so Benny was a much more a judge of character, I guess, than I was. And who knows what would have happened to either one of us that night. But that's what I'm saying. Even though we are to do good and we are to help others, we have to use our best judgment, because the Lord would not want us to necessarily put ourselves in danger. And there are some biblical examples of people who have fled from danger instead of staying and maybe being persecuted. We're told that Elijah fled for his life after he had killed after the prophets of Baal were killed. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we're told that he fled and hid so that he wouldn't be killed by Jezebel and her forces. In this Acts chapter 9, Saul fled for his life shortly after he was converted. People came to him and did not like what he was doing, and he fled. And we're told on several occasions that Jesus himself fled, that people came to grab him and to arrest him. And I don't want to say that Jesus fled because he was scared, but he fled because it wasn't his time. But the example still is there. And so we need to be realistic with our courage today and take stock of the situation, that we shouldn't compromise God's truth to overcome something. But I don't think the Lord expects us to lose our life in a situation that doesn't call for that. And so I don't think Ananias was being a coward here. He just had heard a lot about the Lord, about Saul, and was wanting to make a proper assessment of the situation. Now, as we look in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, after the Lord had confirmed that, yes, this is the man I'm going to have you go to, because I've chosen him. He's going to be my conduit into these different communities. At that time, Ananias' courage then allowed him to understand that the Lord wanted him to go there, and he was ready to do what was needed. And he realized that God meant what he said when he told him to do these, and he was ready to obey. Like I said earlier, God doesn't speak to us directly today, but we can find ourselves in the same situation. And sometimes we ourselves are just reading the word, and we might have questions about it, but we need to understand that God has wisdom beyond anything that we have. And we have to be courageous and have courage to trust what his word tells us that we need to be doing. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Now, this is probably one of the hardest things that we have to do sometimes, because even though we know that God, that what God says is best, that other times, you know, sometimes we think, yes, I know God says this, but I know better, that, you know I can do this in a different way. And there are countless examples that we could look at in the Bible about how people are challenged by what the Lord wants him to do, and they may not want to do it, but they realize that it's what's necessary. And a good example is the book of Ezra. The Jews had been freed from 70 years of captivity, and a portion of them were coming back to Jerusalem, and they were returning because they were going to rebuild the temple, they were going to rebuild the walls, and they were going to reestablish their life in the city. But there was a problem. During the 70 years, some of the people had married, for lack of a better term, wives among the pagan, people that were not Jews. And they had married them and even had children, but this was against the law of Moses. That was not something they were supposed to do. And so for the children of Israel to come back and be able to resume and retake the land, they needed to get back to the law of Moses, which was going to require some of them to have to make some changes. They were going to have to put away their pagan wives and the children that they had. And Ezra's response was this, in Ezra chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, "For they have taken some of their daughters to be wives for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy race has mixed itself with the peoples of the lands. And in this faithlessness, the hand of the officials and chief men had been foremost. As soon as I heard this," meaning Ezra, "I tore my garment and my cloak and pulled hair from my head and beard and sat appalled." The news that this had happened was devastating to Ezra. That while they were in captivity, the ones that were still there had intermingled with the people around them that were not of the nation of Israel. And they were going to have to repent, and they were going to have to get right with God. But they couldn't just repent and still live with their lives. They were being asked to put them away and put their children away. It was not in any way, shape, or form an easy request. Ezra realized that by his response. He knew this was going to be a challenge for those that had done it. But Ezra encouraged them to love God first, and that they needed to be courageous and have strength in their faith in order to do this. And so in Ezra chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, we see the response of these people that were in this situation. "Therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and their children, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it." Now, there probably were some that weren't willing to do so because this was a hard thing to do for them to consider. But based upon this, I think it's fair to say that the majority did decide to, the emotions, the connections they had with these people, that it was going to be very hard to do so. But they trusted and obeyed the Lord and said, "Let's make a covenant with him and we will do this." And so, if we're going to trust in God and realize that his way is best, then we have to realize that we have to put away our own wisdom or our own emotions about a situation and look at things pragmatically through the word. And we have to embrace God's will and have the strength and the courage to do so. Now, getting back to Ananias, he's been told he had to go to this man that he's heard so many bad things about. But he had the courage, and it took that courage for him to be able to do that. He still had the courage to allow him to do it. And if he'd relied upon his own emotional state, I think it's fair to say he would not have gone and done this on his own. But he trusted in God's wisdom, and he trusted in the instructions that the Lord was giving to him. And he went and met with Saul. In the same way, you and I have to follow this example, and we have to humble ourselves, and we must realize that the Lord's the one in control, and he would not tell us to do something that wasn't for us for the best, and that there would be great things that may come from that courage. And speaking of that, because of Ananias' courage, great things eventually would happen throughout the kingdom. He had no idea that Saul's conversion would lead to him to becoming Paul the apostle, that would go on his missionary journeys, that would establish churches throughout the area, that through him Gentiles and Jews alike were converted and brought to the Lord. Thousands and thousands of people were converted because of the actions of Paul. Ananias had no idea that Paul would write 13 of the books we have in our New Testament. But this one act of courage that Ananias acted upon, it made a huge difference in the spread of the gospel throughout the world in the first century. If Ananias had been afraid to say what he needed, what Paul needed to hear, if he had watered down the message a little bit, like people are, "Oh, I'll talk to him, but I don't want to upset him too much," and maybe water down the message. If that's the approach that Ananias had, I think, well, he would have been in error for not doing so. But Paul might not have ever become the person that we know, or Saul might not have become the person that we know of as the Apostle Paul. And He didn't water it down. He didn't say, well, just, you already believe in Jesus, you're fine, just go on. No, he told him what he needed to do, and we know because it said Saul arose immediately and was baptized. But thankfully, Ananias did have the courage, and he had the attitude that we all should have in this regard. And Saul was converted, and dare say he's probably the most... He's the hardest working apostle that we find in the book of Acts. We focus on what he did, and while he had people come with him and serve with him, he did so much just on his own that he was able to take what Ananias gave him, and because of that courage that Ananias had, he was able to do great things. And so we need to keep this in mind, because we never know what the people we meet with could do if they are just brought to the Lord. And so we shouldn't ever underestimate what our courage can produce for the Lord. And we just need to have the attitude that Paul had and that he recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 7, 5 through 7. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Paul realized that he wasn't the thing that caused someone to be converted, but he realized that he was the chosen vessel, as the Lord told him on the road to Damascus, or that the Lord, told Ananias in Damascus, that he was going to be that vessel. And here he said, I'm just the person that planted. Other people also helped, but ultimately the growth happened because the Lord allowed it to. And so, in conclusion, we've learned that by studying the life of Ananias, we recognize that it does take courage to serve the Lord and to spread his gospel. And by studying him, we can see that by being courageous, we can act patiently and tactfully and assess the situation and understand how to best approach someone, but we have to have then the courage to put that plan into action. And so for those of us today who have never become a Christian, you face a different kind of courage. Maybe it's you're afraid of what your friends will say when they find out that you can't go out with them this weekend, or maybe you're afraid of what your family will think if you do so. Well, if I tell them that I've become a Christian, they'll not have anything to do with me. It's different things that you may be facing that are stopping you from becoming a Christian. You need to have a different kind of courage. You need to have a courage to understand that you are being asked, you are being given the opportunity to respond to the gospel. And then you can then move on to the other kind of courage. But right now, the courage that it's going to take for you to break from your life of sin is what you have to deal with. That is what is keeping you from Christ. And being kept from Christ will lead to your destruction, your eternal downfall. So if you're here this morning and you have not proclaimed your strength and believed in the Lord and come forward and acted upon that, I ask that you do so. But if you're already a member and you are facing your own struggles and you need strength and courage that we can help you with, you have that opportunity today as well. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, we ask you to come now as we stand and as we sing.